Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, everyone should know this verse. Let's say it together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You can't add to that. You can't take away from that. All right. Okay. I'll agree with that. So we looked at these a little bit during Sunday school. We didn't teach on this, but I made reference to our study earlier. In 2007, 50% of Americans were very familiar with creationism. 38% of Americans were very familiar with creationism just 7 years later, 2014. Does anyone have a guess what that percentage could be today? It's probably lower than 38%.
You probably don't even let people ask the question anymore.
Yeah, that'd be racist or something, yeah. Okay, so the first number one was the testimony of a creator. If you're taking notes, we've already did this. Letter A under that was his revelation. His revelation. And then letter B under that point was his reliability. God is reliable. Now, we've probably let the Lord down a lot in our Christian experience. Come on, let's just be honest, right? But has God ever let you down?
No.
Never. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you.
Right.
I am He. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, which was, which is, and which is to come, the Lord Almighty. Amen. The second point that we studied last week was the testimony of the creation, which had the best visuals. We'll look at them again. Letter A is its product. Its product. And that's what brought us to our visual. Just a few features of God's design is an ideal galaxy. An ideal galaxy. It's an amazing thing. The Milky Way galaxy. They haven't found one like it yet. An ideal solar system. I really like this part. It says less than 5% variation in the distance between the Earth and the sun would kill all life, either closer or further away. If it was closer, we would fry. If it was further away, we would freeze to death. An ideal gravitational field. This is the one that I learned in this study, that Jupiter orbit, it works as a vacuum cleaner for our solar system. So that's why they have the massive rings, because of the debris and all the meteorites and everything. And we know what happens if one of them get loose and come through our gravitational field, right? An ideal sun. Can anyone answer me? Why doesn't the sun burn up? Don't say anything, amen? But I'm telling you, it is just the statistics or the definition said 90% of all the stars within our galaxy are red dwarfs. Our sun is a rare, perfect star to give off the precise amount of heat without producing a lethal amount of radiation. And then an ideal moon. An ideal moon. If the moon were larger or smaller, it would cause rotation around the sun to slow down or to speed up and produce the tides that cause flooding or were too small to maintain the health of the oceans. It's just God's so good. Letter B was in our study, its purpose. Its purpose. God has a purpose. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. And then we've seen, this was our last point last week, its perfection. Its perfection. In studying creation, it is perfect. God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. That's what God said in Genesis 1:31. So that brings us to our third and final point in our study on the biblical account of creation, the testimony of conflict, or the testimony of the conflict. One of the indicators that the truth of creation is so important is the amount of work that the devil puts into it to undermine it. If it were a minor issue, Satan certainly wouldn't have spent so much time and devoted so much effort into convincing people of the lie of evolution, nor would he be doing so much to spread it. His purpose is to undermine the faith in God and his word. That is what he did in the garden with Adam and Eve, and he's still doing it today. So letter A in our study is the realm of rebellion. The realm of rebellion. There was a time when Satan was known as Lucifer, and he held an exalted position in heaven. He was bright and glorious, a leader among the angels in the worship of God. Yet that was not enough for him. Rather than fulfilling the purpose of his creation, Satan determined that he would become the exalted one himself. In Paradise Lost, John Milton describes Lucifer's rebellion as a decision that it would be better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. Let's see what the Word of God has to say. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15, the Bible says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be likened unto the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Pride. Old Satan had eye trouble there, didn't he? Yeah. And we all get in trouble when we start thinking of ourselves and what we deserve. Amen. You'll study Luke 18. You'll see the difference between the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee says, "I do this. I'm good. I do that," all and all and all. And the publican wouldn't even so much as lift his head and smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said that man, that publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other one, the Pharisee, which exalts himself. Jesus said over and over to his disciples in his teaching, "He that humbles himself shall be exalted, but he that exalts himself shall be humbled." Word of God gives testimony of Satan in Isaiah 14, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." The purpose of everything that the devil does is to undermine the plan of God. He is constantly working. Let me say this. Satan never takes a day off. He never decides that he's just going to let things slide in tempting you. He is on the job 24/7 trying to tempt you, trying to bring you down. Peter said he appears as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He walks up and down looking who he can take down. It's like my friend says. He says Satan will jiggle the door of your heart, the locked door of your heart. He'll jiggle that knob a million times just hoping one day you might leave it open. You know, a Christian can't afford to take a day off from serving God. He's constantly working. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says this, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." That means it's constant. It's always going. And he's constantly working, not for the good of others, is he? But he's working for their destruction and doom. I'm telling you, Satan only has two plans. If you're lost today, he's got you. That is his ultimate plan, that you would never submit and bow your knee and your heart and repent of your sins and trust Christ as your Savior. That is his number one plan. That's what he wants to do. That's his desire for you, to be in hell with him throughout eternity. But you say, well, I'm saved, preacher. Hallelujah, so am I, amen? But you're not out of the woods yet. What's plan number two? He only has two. That's to render you and I ineffective for the kingdom of God. He don't care how he gets you, as long as he gets you. The Bible says, and I believe it's in here in our study, that Satan will appear as an angel of light. He don't care how he does it, subtly, fantastically, whatever. He wants to bring you down. That's what he wants. He don't care how he does it. Jesus said to his disciples that the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's his plan. But I like that wasn't the end. Jesus says, and I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Amen. Amen? So we should expect nothing less from the enemy to totally try to devour us. Jesus described Satan as a liar and the father of it in John 8:44. We can't trust anything Satan says. Satan was just not content to draw away some of the angels. The Bible says, and I don't know if my math may be off, but I believe it's a third of the angels fell from heaven with Lucifer. He set his sights. That wasn't good enough for him. He set his sights on the human race that God had created. And from the very beginning, he focused his attack on the reliability of what God has said. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. Isn't that interesting that when Satan came to Adam and Eve, he didn't come like busting through the door saying, I'm going to destroy your life. No, he came subtly. You know, isn't that the way sin is? Yeah. You know, first starts with just an innocent thought, maybe, you know, or someone said it's just a white lie. Listen, a lie is a lie, right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It just came subtly. However he can do it, he wants to do it. And it says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. There it is right there. Satan always doubts God's word. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For indeed they did. They died spiritually. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what he's talking about there, when Paul was writing to the Romans, in Romans 6, he was talking about a spiritual death, a separation from God forever. And the serpent says, no, you're not going to die. That's the key point that Satan has got in with all these false religions, right? What do the false religions say? No. You just believe us, believe our teaching, and you're going to live forever. You know, she was just sharing about what the Buddhists believe, you know, about reincarnation. It's a lie, and it's a lie from Satan. If Adam and Eve had believed God rather than Satan, they would have not disobeyed God. And the only thing he had commanded them to do. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that just like humans, right? Come on. Just one thing, you know. Just like a little child, you say, don't touch that. What's the one thing they want? What you told them that they couldn't have.
Right.
It's rebellion. It's a sin nature. And we all have it. It's interesting that you don't have to teach a child how to be bad. That's automatic. Right? That's ingrained in them. You know? But we have to discipline them and teach them to do what's right and do what's good. And I've shared this story about this man, and you pray for him. His name's Scott Turner. He needs to be saved. Don't know if he got saved. Worked at the material yard. And I remember he's always jabbing me. He goes, oh, here comes the preacher. You know, always giving me a hard time. You know, I said, that's right. I love God. Amen. I'm proud. It's the highest calling on this planet. Amen. And he says, well, I just want to let you know, preacher, I'm working my way to hell. I said, you don't have to do that, Scott. I said, you've already checked the box, buddy. It's automatic.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, man? I said, you don't know Christ. You're headed there. Amen. You need to get saved. Amen. Satan is a liar. And if Adam and Eve would have only obeyed, right? So the teaching of evolution is a direct assault on God's trustworthiness and reliability. Either God is correct in what his word declares and creation happened just as he said, or God's a liar and he can't be trusted. One of the purposes of the theory of evolution is to undermine faith in God. Evolution provides an alternative explanation, not just only for the world around us, but for the future where there is no one to whom we must give account for our lives. It's an easy way out, right? Listen to this. Biologist Francisco Ayala said Charles Darwin's greatest accomplishment was to show how the development of life is a result of a natural process or natural selection without any need to resort to a creator. Michael Denton, an Australian microbiologist and physician, agrees that Darwinism broke man's link with God and consequently set him adrift in the cosmos without a purpose. He also wrote, as far as Christianity is concerned, the advent of the theory of evolution was catastrophic. The decline in religious belief can probably be attributed more to the propagation and the advocacy by the intellectual and scientific community of the Darwinian version of evolution than any other single factor. Satan's works to cloud the judgment and vision of people so they will not see and understand the truth. He does not deal in truth, but in deception. He can't present a convincing argument, but his purpose is not to illuminate what is real, it is to conceal it. Evolution is a prime example of the way Satan's deception leaves people blind to the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Have you ever talked to somebody about the gospel? And it's just like talking to a wall. Some people even get hostile. Satan has blinded their minds. Don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. Amen. Mentioned his cousin. Dale mentioned his cousin. Talk to him about the gospel. We've actually had him in a few services here or there. We're not going to give up on him. Amen. Evolution requires that people disregard what God has said. And many people find that that better, they find it easier to have to deal with the fact that there is a creator and judge. They rather believe in evolution than have to deal with the fact that there is a creator and there is a judge. Why don't people get saved? Because, you know, people are smart. And if they know about the Bible, they know, you know, look at, Ten Commandments are still posted. Even people that have never been in church, they kind of got an idea about the Ten Commandments. That's why you need to pray. If there's a monument in your town, like I live in Hayden, and there's the Ten Commandments out front of the city hall, man, I'll tell you, when they try to take that down, I'm going to chain myself to it. I don't know. But I love it. I love it that it's there. It's the Word of God. You know, one of the most secular cities in Idaho is Sandpoint, Idaho. And they have all kinds of fairs and different drinking events and all that. But if you go to Sandpoint, Idaho, and you go to the public park there, they got a great granite Ten Commandments. I love it. Amen. We need to have more of that. You know, we need to have more of that. And it doesn't matter if people disregard what God says, but most people got an idea of who God is. And I know a lot of it's skewed, right? I mean, one friend of mine, she thinks that dog is God backwards. I said, please don't relate God to that. Amen. But that's her. Somehow she's got it mixed up in her mind that up in heaven, God's a big Saint Bernard or something. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? It's weird, right? All right? But I'm going to tell you this. The reason they don't submit to it is because they got some form and some truth was in their heart and life through whatever media, through whatever social, however they got it, right? And they know that if they get saved, they got to submit to this. Amen?
Yeah.
They have to submit to this because this is God's revelation to man. I won't get tangled up here. There is a false comfort in evolution that allows people to indulge their desires not to think about God who made everything around us. How quick does the subject change sometime when you start talking to people about God? Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 22 and verse 25. Listen to this. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful and become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. People care more about animals today than they do people and a living God. It's interesting that scientific evidence has increasingly contradicted the Darwin theory with the facts that support a creator or at least intelligent design. Yet, by and large, non-Christians still refuse to acknowledge this evidence. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3-5 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since their fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully are ignorant of, and that by the word of God, the heavens were old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. That's interesting that this passage refers to a worldwide flood described in Genesis 6. Evolutionists, of course, deny this biblical account in part because it emphasizes man's accountability to God and God's right to judge man. But in reality, the flood answers many questions raised by non-believing scientists and archaeologists. Simply put, the fossils that evolutionary scientists suggest support the evolutionary process exactly fit the evidence of what we would expect if there had been a worldwide flood as Scripture records it. Man, that was a lengthy point. We're going to get to it now. All right, the next one is the road to restoration. I thank the Lord for the Word of God. Amen. Do you know why? The story ends well. Everyone wants to. I don't know if you've ever watched a weird movie by some weird director or something where it doesn't have a good ending. Man, it makes you want to just smash the TV. It wouldn't be a bad idea anyways. But you know what I'm saying? But the Word of God doesn't end like that. We know the end. Paul says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8:37. Glory. The road to restoration. The Lord is merciful even to those who intentionally reject him. And he offers a pathway for sinful man to know him through the death of his son on the cross. So we saw earlier that men reject the message of creation because they reject the Creator. The key to knowing God is not simply faith in creationism or intelligent design. It is faith in the revelation of the Creator. It is to take God at his word, to believe we are sinners and that he paid a price for our sin, and then turn to him in repentance and in faith. In Acts chapter 20, verse 21, testifying both to the Jew and also the Greek, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say this. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, turn to him. Turn to him. Get saved. If thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. And with confession, with your mouth, you believe on him. And I think it's verse 13 of Romans 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Invite him. Listen to this. If you do know Christ already, understand that the primary message you have to share with the world is not creationism, although it's important truth. The primary message is, however, is the message of how to know the Creator himself, right? I can't think of my little Vance Havner little saying. Oh, you meant, see if I can get it. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. But you've been called out of the world to go back into the world to tell others how to get out of the world. And that is the only business that you have in the world as a Christian. Amen? I know I kind of hacked it up, but that's what I got, right? But listen, faith in God is not irrational. Amen? I've told people this. I says, listen, you know, let's say I'm wrong about the gospel, and I don't believe I am, right? But let's just say I'm wrong, right? And you accept Christ as your personal Savior, and you turn from your sin, right? You got nothing to lose. Matter of fact, you got everything to gain. You know how much more money I have since I got saved? I mean, alcohol is expensive. It's been 30 years now. Come on now. I didn't go out to the last week, right? It is extremely. Smoking cigarettes is a very expensive proposition. You know what I'm saying? I haven't missed any of that. Amen. I've been a better husband to my wife. I believe she's not here, so I can say that. Amen. I believe I was a better father to my children. Amen. And I hope I was a better friend to my friends. Amen. Hey, you got nothing to lose. I've told people that. You got nothing to lose. by accepting Christ. You have so much to gain in this world, even if we're wrong. But if I'm right, which I believe I am, and you go out into eternity not trusting Christ, you lose everything. Listen to this story, and I am closing. Rick Oliver has a PhD in biology from the University of California, Irvine.
Woo, anteaters!
Oh, you're an anteater.
Yes, sir.
Hey, there's a fellow alumni. Go. Man, you know what? I want you to read this. Here, you read this story. It's right here, the blueprint. Read it. Say it loud now. Just move to the next one.
He's a member of the American Federation of Herpetoculturalists, the California Science Teachers Association, and the New York Academy of Science. In an article describing how the intricate design of creation pointed him to Christ, he wrote the following. I remember how frustrated I became when, as a young atheist, I examined specimens under the microscope. I would often walk away and try to convince myself that I was not seeing examples of extraordinary design, but merely the product of some random, unexplained mutations. Even as an atheist, I could not get away from the evidence. Eventually, by God's grace, I accepted the simple yet compelling truth of the Bible.
Amen.
Go Anteaters.
From a fellow anteater. Isn't that something? God still saves scientists. Amen. In conclusion of this lesson, go ahead, Pat. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Luke. Yeah, yeah. 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 The DNA, yeah. Shaped as a cross. Isn't God good? Amen?
Yeah, that's good.
Chuck's a technical one. You got to ask him, brother. I mean, we'll see if Brother Chuck can show that next week. So in conclusion of our biblical account of creation and our study, avoiding confusion, interpreting cultural issues through a biblical worldview, this one we see throughout the Bible and in the world around us, a threefold witness of the reality of creation. Number one, the testimony of the Creator. God told us plainly that He had made the world. Number two, the testimony of creation, the intricacies and complexities of the natural world agrees with the biblical account of divine creation followed by the fall of man. Number three, the testimony of the conflict. The very viciousness of attacks on the logical conclusion of creation evidences our deeper motive of rejecting God. See, if we surrender on the topic of evolution in order to accept the world around us or be accepting of the world around us, we are giving up a key distinctive of our faith. When you study the history of the teaching of evolution, you will find a constant changing set of beliefs. The theory is continually being adjusted, often in a contradictive of what was widely believed just a few years before. But the Word of God has given the same explanation for the existence of the universe for thousands of years. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. Instead of being pulled into the confusion of evolutionary teaching, turn to God and to His reliable Word. Your Creator can be trusted. Amen. The Word of God can be trusted. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You so much for Your people. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that You would just help us. Help us to stand strong in this dark world. Lord, we could be discouraged so easy, and we are being discouraged. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just be with your people. During this invitation time, Lord, I pray that if there's one here that's not saved, that's never trusted you, Lord, as their personal Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. And for those of us left, Lord, strengthen our faith. Help us to be strong to in the defense of the faith. Help us to be, as Jude says, to earnestly contend for the faith. But Lord, also as Jude has said, and some having compassion, making a difference. Lord, help us to make a difference. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and I pray, Lord, that you bless this invitation time. In your name, Christ, we pray. Amen. As the piano plays, with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, this would be a time that you could take for you and the Lord. You might just need prayer this morning.